Well, thankful to Brother Curtis and our ensemble leading us this morning in those wonderful hymns of faith. I was just thinking about these last two hymns, living by faith, and God leads his dear children along. Amen. You know what the best thing is about living by faith? You know, as we sing these songs, there are times that we go through the fire. There are times that we go through the flood. There are times and seasons of great sorrow and loss. But the best thing about walking by faith with the Lord is that he is with us. I mean, think about that. He is with us. He is ever with us. In our prayer meeting this morning, we were talking about some of the different attributes of God. And one of them was the omnipresence of God. That God is, he's everywhere present. But I want you to think about this. He's not just everywhere present. He is present with me. He is present with you. Amen. So even though we may go through great sorrow, even though we may go through fires and floods, even though God may lead us out into a desert like he did Moses for 40 years, at least God is with us. And that's the sweet thing about it. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to look at the faith of Moses. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. It gives us some faith stories of some Old Testament believers to encourage our faith. The book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians that were living in the first century, and many of them were going through the fires, persecution fires. They suffered the loss of their homes, their possessions, the loss of relationships, and they suffered it all for Christ. And some of them were thinking about going back to the Old Testament law, going back to Judaism. And I think those were most likely those that were on the fence. They were maybe made a profession of Christ, but not really embraced Christ by faith. Just like today, we have people that profess Christ that don't have Christ. Just because you profess Christ don't mean you possess Christ. The most important thing is that you possess Christ by faith, that he lives in your heart, that you have eternal life through faith in him. There are some that have not come to Christ yet. They are close. They're thinking about just staying in the world or walking away from Christ. But Hebrews is not just for these first century Christians, it's for us. And he's given us these faith stories to encourage us to draw near to Christ, to encourage us to follow Christ, to endure the persecutions or the troubles and tribulations we go through, the inflictions, because Christ is so much better. He is so much better. And it's when we choose by faith to walk with Christ that we are showing others that Jesus is so much better. And Moses is one of those persons that by his faith, he definitely was showing us that Christ is so much better than the pleasures and treasures of this world. Amen. If you'd hold your place here in Hebrews 11, I want you to go to Exodus. We're going to kind of just look at the background story before we get into Moses' faith story. In Exodus chapter 1, it wasn't too long ago that in our Abide Bible reading that we read through the book of Exodus. So those of you that are following that reading program, you're familiar with this story. But I just want to kind of refresh your memory before we look at Moses' story. If you look in verse 5 in Exodus 1, it says, "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall she live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and he said unto them, Why have you done this thing? And have saved the men children alive. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and they are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. I just want to just give a brief summary and background before we get to the story of Moses, because this is leading up to his story. Jacob, remember, brought all of his family into Egypt because Joseph was, he was down there and second to Pharaoh, and he was favored by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And during that famine, Joseph pretty much saved the world. I mean, he was a type of Christ. And so Jacob, 70 souls, 70 of them, came down to Egypt. Now, Exodus tells us that as Joseph and his brethren died, as time went on, they began to multiply exceedingly. They began to grow into a nation. It was here in Egypt that God used Egypt as a womb, if you would, to birth a nation that we know as Israel. Now, during the process of this growth, we find that there arose a king that knew not Joseph. And so they no longer enjoyed the favored status of the Pharaoh of Egypt. They no longer enjoyed the favor of the people. But this new king made them slaves, made them serve with rigor, made their lives hard, in bondage, and their lives bitter. And Pharaoh tried to stop the growth of this nation. He told the midwives, kill every male child. Of course, they didn't obey him. And then later, the last verse says he charged all of his people. You know what this is? This is genocide. He's wanting to wipe out this whole nation, just like throughout the history of Israel, even to this day, that's been the enemy's intent, is to wipe out this nation that God has chosen, this nation that God has blessed, this nation that has brought to us Jesus Christ. We talked about on Mother's Day the faith of Moses' mother. It covers Hebrews 11, 23. And I'm not going to go back into that message, but Moses' parents, especially his mother, had faith. She walked by faith. She trusted God by faith. And through that miraculous step of faith, when they put Moses in that ark or that basket and put him in the river, it was by God's providence that the daughter of Pharaoh found Moses, had her serving, gathered the basket and opened it up, heard the baby crying, and she had compassion, and she took him to be her own son. I want to focus this morning not on the faith of Moses' parents, but on Moses himself. And as we look at the faith of Moses, this is the lesson we're going to learn about faith from Moses. And that is this, that faith chooses. Faith chooses. Those that have faith with God, they make choices. They make a choice to follow Christ, to follow the Lord. And that's what the story of Moses is going to teach us this morning, that faith chooses. I want you to go back to Hebrews 11. And in verse 24 through 28, let's read these scriptures again. And I want you to notice how three times that it mentions by faith, through faith. Three times it speaks of Moses' faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that means when he came to become an adult, when he was about 40 years old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now notice this next word in verse 25. Choosing. Choosing. By faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we're so grateful for the faith story of Moses. What a great man of God. A man who was your man. A man that you molded and formed over years and years. And through faith, Moses became a deliverer of Israel. He became a mighty instrument in your hands. Through faith. And we know that it was only because that he chose. There is a place and time that he surrendered his life to your calling, to your plan, to your will for his life. There's a time that by faith he chose, even though it was very costly. Father, I pray that you would help us as we look at his story, to encourage our faith, to keep choosing Jesus, to keep following Jesus, even though it will cost. It could cost friends. It could cost our job. It could cost possessions. It could cost careers. It could, many things that it could cost. But God, I pray, help us to choose Jesus, because he's so much better than the pleasures of sin and the treasures of Egypt. God, bless your word today. Speak to our hearts. And I'm sure, Lord, there's also those that need to come to Christ and to choose him for the first time to be their Lord and their Savior, their deliverer from sin, from the bondage of sin, from the bitterness of sin, the rigors of sin. Lord, please, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In verse 24 through 26, we're going to see this first truth about faith choosing, and that is this: faith chooses carefully with eternity in mind. Faith chooses carefully with eternity in mind. You know, we really didn't get to go any further in Exodus because of time, but we can summarize: as Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household, I want you to look at a verse in Acts chapter 7, just that kind of summarizes it for us, so we don't have to read a lot of verses. But if you look in Acts 7, when Stephen was preaching, he preached on that day before he was stoned to death, and he told the history of Israel. But it says there in verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned. Now, this is what I want you to see, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deeds. You know, Moses grew up, had the best of the best. He was the daughter of the crown princess. You know, we just saw in the UK the Queen Elizabeth passing and King Charles stepping in, and I want you to picture that Moses is, he's the daughter of the crown princess. I mean, it's an important place. There's prestige, there's power, there's riches, there's pleasure, there's everything at his access. He had the privilege, all the privileges of being a member of the royal family. The best education, it says he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. All the pleasures and treasures of Egypt, they were at his disposal. Think about this choice that Moses made. It couldn't have been an easy choice. From a human perspective, from a human standpoint, I mean, he was probably in line to be the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt at one day. He could have lived an easy life in the palace. He could have forgotten about his family and his faith of his mother. But when we come to Hebrews 11, verse 24, it says, By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Now, I'm going to read what it says in the sermon there. In verse 23, Acts 7. And when he was a full 40 years old. So it tells us he was 40 years old. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Now, I want you to notice verse 25, because verse 25, we get perspective that we don't find in Exodus, we don't find in Hebrews, but realize that Stephen is preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. What we have here in our Bible is inspired of God. So this is a perspective that we can get on Moses. It says, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver him. But they understood not." So I want you to understand that this first choice that he made, when he chose, when he refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want you to understand that Moses understood the call of God on his life. Moses understood that God had chose him. There's no question about it. When you look at all the scripture and you put it all in perspective, Moses knew God had put his hand on him. God had called him, and he had a choice to make. You can be the king of Egypt, or you can be the servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Make your choice. Make your choice. And Moses chose, when he was 40 years old, when he was come to years, that he was going to be the servant of the King of all the earth. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He refused to be a part of the royal family. He refused to be in the line to be the king of Egypt. He said, I count all that as dung. As Paul said, that I may win Christ. That's the kind of choice that he's making here. He chose to refuse that kind of life. The pleasures of Egypt, the pleasures of sin, the treasures of Egypt. And he chose to identify with God's persecuted people. That's quite a choice, you think about it. They were slaves. Their lives were bitter with hard bondage. They were serving with rigor. It was hard. Moses said, I'm going to go suffer with them. I'm going to be with them. You know, it sounds a lot like what we find in the New Testament when Jesus said, any man come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself. Let him follow me. I want to say that true faith causes a believer to carefully choose the right values and to make the right decisions. True faith causes a believer to carefully choose the right values and make the right decisions. This choice that Moses made, we're going to come to the next verse, verse 26, where it says, esteeming. Esteeming means to account, to consider. Moses was weighing his choice. He had two choices. He could be the king of Egypt. He could stay in the palace. He could continue to enjoy all the pleasures of sin, which were for a season. And that season may be a lifetime, but it's still temporal. He had that choice, or he could choose to follow the call of God upon his life. He had to account. He had to make an evaluation. You know, I'm sure as he was looking at this, he knew it was going to be costly if he chose to follow God's call. Because then he was going to suffer the loss of his position, his prestige, his power. He was probably going to become the enemy of the king of Egypt. I mean, what I'm saying is his choice had consequences, serious consequences. I thought it was interesting that Warren Wiersbe, he wrote this about the pleasures of sin, that phrase. He said it does not refer only to lust and other gross sins. We usually think of it as that way. But he went on to say the phrase describes a way of life that we today would call successful. Position, prestige, power, wealth, and freedom from problems. Wow, that's pretty enlightening. When I read that, I thought, you know, a lot of people, they look at the pleasure of sin, they think, oh, that's living in adultery, that's drunkenness, and all these things, pleasures of sin. But this gives a perspective that most people miss. Because a lot of Christians and churches, they're living for prestige, for power, for a successful life, for wealth, freedom from problems, the American dream. I didn't hear any amens. I mean, most Christian parents, we want our kids to succeed. We want them to have good careers. We want them to have nice homes and cars and all these things. And we've sold that as being a good Christian. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have those things. It's not wrong to have those careers. But if you're following the call of God and God wants you to be His light in the workplace, then go for it. But I want you to understand that the pleasures of sin that Moses was looking at was his position, his prestige, his power, the wealth that he had. We often don't look at it that way. But he chose rather to stand with God's people, to be despised by the world. And I was thinking about this, that Moses really, he points us to Christ by his own faith, by his own life, because I want you to think about this. Moses chose to suffer. He was in a palace. He had everything. He had all the riches. He had all the pleasures that came with that position. But he left all that to suffer, not for himself, but for the people of God, for others. What did Jesus do? Jesus was in heaven, the Son of God. He had all the treasures of heaven at his disposal. All the pleasures that are there in heaven were his. But yet Jesus chose to leave that to come to this world. Amen. To suffer reproach. To be crucified. To die. But he did that for you and for me. So we see Christ and Moses. We see that what he was doing was Christ-like. You know, though Moses lived 1,500 years before Christ came, he saw Christ through prophecy. He saw Christ through the promises that God had given to his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He by faith believed the promises. He by faith believed the word of God. And this is what affected his decision. You know, if all we have in this life is Christ, if there's no other life after this, you know, I want to just quote a verse that Paul shared. Let me find it. I have it in my notes here. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." If there's nothing after this life, we are of all men most miserable. That's basically what Paul's saying. That suffering, persecution, being beaten, stoned, and shipwrecked, and all these things, suffering the loss of all things for Christ, and then to die, and that's it. It would not be worth it, Paul said. We're of all men most miserable. But in that chapter, he talks about the resurrection. He talks about how that this is not the end. Now, notice what Moses' decision, verse 26, choosing, why did he choose? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking off into the things unseen. He was looking off into the rewards in the future. The rewards that are beyond this life. He made a choice. He said the reproach of Christ, suffering for Christ now, is better than the riches of this world. Because of what Christ gives us in the life to come. Dr. Vance Havner, he said, Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible. Vance Havner, when he said he chose the imperishable, Moses' choice, he was esteeming, he was considering, he was accounting, he was setting value upon something. He was prizing something. That's what it means to esteem, to prize, to value. What was he prizing? He was prizing Jesus Christ. He said, Christ is better. It's better than the riches, the treasures in Egypt. I wonder if we can say that this morning. That we know our theme all year, Jesus so much better. Can we really say that Jesus is better than, that he's greater than Amen. The treasures and pleasures of this world? Because it seems like a lot of times we tend to chase those things. Amen. Right. Rather than chase Christ. We're chasing after the pleasures of the world. We're chasing after the pleasures of sin. But Moses made a choice, as I said, a careful choice. Moses chose carefully with eternity in mind. Moses was looking beyond the now. He was looking beyond even 10 years down the road. He was looking beyond even 40 years. He's looking beyond retirement. He's looking at eternity. He made his choice based on that. We can learn from this because life's full of choices, is it not? So young people, you have choice who you're going to serve. You know, Joshua told the children of Israel, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make a choice. Now, serving Christ today is not popular. In some places it might be, but most places it's not. I mean, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul said you shall suffer persecution. You're not going to be liked by the world. You're not going to be loved. You're not going to be popular. You have to make a choice. By faith, Moses, he chose. Why? Because he was esteeming. He was valuing Christ. He was valuing the reward that was going to come from serving Christ. In Matthew 16:24-27, Jesus said this, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall, listen to this, reward every man according to his works." Yeah, there is a reward coming for those that choose to follow Christ. Following Jesus means taking up a cross. We talked about this life, the cross life, in Connect class some. Before we move to the next point, I want to just say that faith factors in eternity. Faith takes up a cross now, but it does not end there. The cross leads to a great recompense of reward. The cross leads to a great recompense of reward. You know, I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen." Now notice that. You know, we're gonna see in this next truth that Moses saw him that is invisible. Paul says, "For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." They're temporal. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Remember the definition of faith in chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." By faith, Moses chose. He factored in eternity in his choice. As you are faced with the choice of choosing Christ as your Savior, choosing Christ to follow Him and His will for your life, be sure you factor in eternity. Amen. You know, the devil will say, "Well, you know, just think of what you can have if you choose to follow me, if you choose the world, if you choose pleasures, and think of what you can have now. You got to enjoy your life now." But faith factors in eternity. Faith sees through the passing pleasures of sin and treasures of this world and looks at the eternal rewards. Let's go to the second thought. In verse 27, faith chooses courageously with Christ in mind. Faith chooses courageously with Christ in mind. Look in verse 27. "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Now, this is a reference to Moses. After he made his choice, remember what happened. He went out and he saw one of the Egyptian taskmasters beating up a Hebrew slave. Moses, he took a look around, make sure nobody was around watching, and he killed that Egyptian, buried him in the sand. The next day he went out to see the Hebrew children, just like Stephen was preaching, thinking that they would understand that God had raised him up to deliver them. Well, they were like, "Who are you to be a judge over us?" They did not understand it. They did not see him as a deliverer. So pretty much, he fell flat on his face. He was doing that in the flesh. He was doing that in his own strength, in his own power. And so Pharaoh was going to kill him. And so he fled Egypt for the desert of Midian. Now, would you stop, think with me, please. Does that sound like faith? Because when you read the story in Exodus, Pharaoh was going to sought to slay Moses, and it says Moses, he hightailed it out of Egypt and went to Midian. It don't sound like faith, does it? Why does the Bible say here by faith he forsook Egypt? That's a great question. I want you to recall truth in the beginning when we were looking at this series in chapter 11. There's a foundational truth in Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Moses exercised faith based on the word of God. I don't know what that word was, but I do know that Moses knew about God calling him. Moses must have understood that Israel was not ready. And Moses was not ready. But he had faith to believe that God was going to use him one day, that God was going to deliver Israel. He had faith to believe that. And the Bible tells us that he forsook Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. So the leaving, departing Egypt, it was not because he feared the king. It was because he had faith in God. It says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was looking at the invisible, not the things seen. He was looking to the promises of God. He was trusting God. See, Moses, he needed to learn intimacy with God. He needed to learn self-control. I mean, when he killed that Egyptian, that was not exercising self-control. It was a disaster, was it not? What he did was not right. You could say that God had to take him out into the desert to teach him what it's like to take up the cross, what it's like to deny yourself. He had to take him out into the desert to prepare him. One great preacher of the past, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, he said this: the worst thing that can happen to a man is to have success before he is ready. There's a lot of truth to that. I've seen that happen. I've seen people come into a place or position of ministry too soon. You know, Paul says that not to lay hands on any man. I'm trying to think of that. The term's not young, but a novice. He uses the word novice, lest he fall into the condemnation of the devil because of pride. You know, it's not a good thing to put a person into a place, a position before they're ready. Moses wasn't ready. God had to take him out in the desert and teach him. Just like God had to take Paul out into the desert of Arabia for 3 years before he could use him in the ministry. Moses spent the next 40 years in the desert to learn of Christ, to learn to walk with God. I want to say this morning, never despise the years of preparation. Especially I say young people, never despise those years of preparation. When you look in the scripture, we see that it takes years of preparation. You look at people that were used of God, like Moses, like Joseph, like David. You know, we were reading Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. And think about David. How long he had to wait before he became the king. How he had to live in exile for all those years. But I'm thankful because many of the Psalms were written during that time. His walk with God grew deep and strong through those times, where God was preparing him to be the king. Here God is preparing Moses. By faith, Moses believed God's plan. Like the message last week, we were looking at that faith submits. And Moses was submitting to God's plan. He knew God had called him, and man, he was ready to jump in. But God was saying, not yet. Not yet. I've got a plan to get you there. Can you imagine giving up all that to follow God? And God says, let's go out in the desert, just you and I, for 40 years. Would that be easy? Would you be rethinking your decision? Would you be thinking, maybe I made the wrong decision. Maybe I should have stayed in the palace. That's why it says by faith. By faith he forsook Egypt. The things that God leads us to do, and God prepares us for ministry, I want to just say, it's hard. I'm not going to soften it up. I'm not going to say, well, if you surrender today to follow God, it's going to be, you're going to be so blessed. Yeah, you're going to be blessed spiritually. You're going to have the joy of Christ. There are blessings, don't get me wrong, but I'm just telling you, it's hard. Amen. It's hard. Because we're stubborn. God takes us through tough times to sand off the rough edges. Through the fires to burn the dross out of our life, to make us come forth as gold. So never despise the years of preparation. Just be faithful day by day, walking by faith, living by faith, we sing, in Jesus above. Just live by faith day to day. God, what do you want me to accomplish today? What do I need to do today? You know, so many people that call the ministry, I've seen this happen, that they're so excited, they want to get in the ministry tomorrow or today. They don't realize there's a process of training. There's a process of preparation. There's a process of suffering. There's a process of purging and God preparing us to be a vessel that he can use. And many jump ahead and they try to get into it too soon, like Moses, and they make a disaster of it. The sad part is many get out of the ministry at that point. They say, well, it wasn't for me. No, you need to just go in the desert with God and let him prepare you no matter how long it takes. How did Moses endure these years of preparation? It says, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, Moses didn't have anything tangible. All he had is his faith. His faith that his mother instilled into him. The promises that she passed on to him. The stories that she told him about Abraham, about the covenant God made with Abraham. The stories about Isaac and Jacob. She passed those down to Moses, and Moses believed God. By faith, he trusted God. He saw by faith him who is invisible. See, Moses, by faith, chose courageously with Christ in mind. He was seeing him who is invisible. That was what influenced his choice. It was a courageous choice. I mean, to leave instead of fight. He left and went out into the desert. It was not a cowardly thing that he did. It was courageous. He was believing God, that God, you're going to take me out here, and at some point in time, you're going to bring me back and use me to deliver Egypt, or deliver Israel out of Egypt. Some of you this morning may be going through some tough times in your life. Maybe it's hard right now, but how are you going to endure? If only you could just see Him who is invisibly present with you right now. The one who said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. It was shared in our prayer meeting this morning, a lot of times that we cannot see God by faith until we surrender to God. Amen. Surrender all to Him right now. I say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, by faith, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose to follow you, no matter what the cost. When you do that, you're going to see. You're going to see the one who's invisible. You're going to see His hand. You're going to see Him do great things. Let's get to the third point. Faith chooses confidently with redemption in mind. Faith chooses confidently with redemption in mind. In verse 28, it says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, just in one verse, it fast forwards 40 years. They spent 40 years in Midian. Then there's the burning bush in Exodus 3. Moses goes into Egypt with Aaron. He goes all those times before Pharaoh. All the plagues are coming upon Egypt to judge all the gods of Egypt. The last plague was the death of the firstborn, which had to do with the Passover lamb. There was going to be a death angel come and kill every firstborn in Egypt of man and beast. But God told Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a lamb without blemish. I want you to take it on the 10th day. And I want you to watch it. And if it's without blemish on the 14th day, I want you to kill it. And I want you to take the blood of that lamb, and I want you to sprinkle it on your doorpost with hyssop. And God said, because this night, I'm going to come through all Egypt and kill all the firstborn. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now I want you to understand that the Bible tells us that Christ is our Passover lamb. It was through the Passover lamb that God delivered Israel out of Egypt. Because that night they went out of Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians, the Bible says. They went out with great riches. It was through the blood. And it says here, by faith, Moses kept the Passover. He prepared it and he celebrated it. And he followed God by faith. You know, it seemed like a crazy plan. Kill a lamb and spread the blood on the doorpost, and I'm going to get you out of Egypt. I'm going to redeem you. That's where we get the concept of redemption. We are redeemed by blood. It's through the blood that we are purchased. Through the blood we are forgiven and become God's child. Moses is a man that's saying here by faith, I'm a sinner who needs redemption. I need the blood of the Passover lamb. Well, you know, faith says more than I need redemption. Faith says, I have redemption. I am now redeemed. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. Do you realize you're redeemed? If you've trusted Christ this morning, you're redeemed. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. God purchased this nation with blood. The blood of the Passover lamb brought them out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt. You know, it's a picture of our salvation in Christ. That Christ being our Passover lamb, when we put our faith in him and the blood is sprinkled by faith on the doors of our heart, what happens is we are redeemed out of sin, out of the world. We pass from death to life. We're redeemed. It's a precious truth. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what, know you not? You've been bought with a price? You're not your own? Therefore, glorify God with your body and spirit, which are God's. See, faith chooses confidently with redemption in mind. You know, as we walk with God through life, we go through trials, we need to choose courageously with Christ in mind, see him who is invisible, and we need to choose confidently with redemption in mind. You know, think about it. There are people around us that need redemption. There are people around us that need Christ. Are you going to choose confidently with redemption in mind to follow Christ, to be faithful to Christ, to walk with Christ, to live by faith in Christ? You know, we need to go time and time again back to that truth. And that's why the Lord gave us the Lord's Supper. When we celebrate as a church the Lord's Supper, we're remembering that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're remembering what he did for us, that we're not our own. Faith chooses. Faith makes a choice. With eternity in mind, with Christ in mind, with redemption in mind. What's your choice? What's your choice? I mean, honestly, there's only two choices. We can choose unbelief, or we can choose belief. We can choose to walk away from Christ, or we can choose not to serve Christ. We can choose the world, or we can choose Christ. What is your choice? You know, Moses it was a hard choice in many ways, but it was the right choice. It was the right choice. You know, when Moses led them out of Egypt, you know the story in Exodus. There was nothing easy about it. He had complaining Israelites constantly. They wanted to stone him. They murmured against him. When you look at the life of Moses, there's nothing easy about it. But by faith, he chose. He chose. I want you to stand with me. We're going to bow in prayer. As we bow in prayer, I want you to think about the faith story of Moses and how it applies in your life where you are now. I don't know where you are. Some of you may be at the point where you need to come to Christ for salvation for the first time. Maybe you're here. You haven't been walking by faith with Christ. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to make a choice. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to take up my cross. I'm willing to pay the cost, whatever it is. I want your will. Like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will. It's going to require faith. You're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to trust him. Because it's not going to be an easy choice. But I hope you'll come now and trust him by faith like Moses. Father, we We're so grateful. The story of Moses, it's really a powerful story. We just barely even touched the surface of it. But I'm thankful for Paul summarizing his life in these verses in Hebrews 11. Putting the spotlight upon his faith in you. I'm thankful for that. To help us to see that even though Moses was a man of like passions as us, and there are times that Moses sinned, there were times that Moses made wrong choices, there are times that Moses did the wrong thing, but Moses had faith. Trusted you. You saved him. You used him in a mighty way. As we look at Moses' life, we can see there's hope for every one of us here today. No matter how much we may fail you, Lord, by faith we can overcome. We can overcome the temptation to sin. We can overcome the fleshly desires of our heart for the pleasures of sin, for the treasures of this world that are just fleeting, temporary. It is by faith. Lord, help us today to look to Christ. Help us to see how that He gave up all His glory in heaven, all of His riches, all the treasures and pleasures of heaven to come and to suffer death on the cross for us. Oh, what love we see in Christ when He laid down His life for us. When He denied Himself, said, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Oh, Lord, how can we do any less than that? How can we be selfish if we know Christ as our Savior? How can we say, "Well, I want my own life," when we see that the Savior Himself gave it all for us? God, help us to be encouraged by Moses' faith story, to walk by faith, to choose the right values in our life, to make the right choices, to choose that Jesus is so much better. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for giving us your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.